The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. In one age, called the Third Age by some, an age yet to come, an age long past, a married couple decided to start a podcast.
This is Shade of My Heart, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Josh, and this is my wife, Kat.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope you had a really great holiday.
Yeah, we had a great time. We got together with family, and we have a lot to be thankful for, not least of which is a Wheel of Time television show, which is an amazing thing to be thankful for in and of itself, because many people have been reading these books for years and years. They came out in the early 90s. I started reading them in 2006, but to see them portrayed on the screen is just amazing, and to see them given a budget and a movie studio behind it that
so cool.
knows what's going on is really great. And obviously, it's not the books. They're not just using the books as their script.
Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of people that are book purists, book enthusiasts that are mad.
And we are book enthusiasts.
Yo,
for
I love the books. I have read the books so many times. I love them. But I'm okay with the adaptation because it's an adaptation, not just using the book as a script.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot of fun because we don't always know what to expect. And this episode was full of like shockers and really exciting things that I had no idea what was going to come next.
So we're talking about episode 4, The Dragon Reborn.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much this entire episode was new.
Yeah.
From like none of it was canon from the books. There's a little bit that's borrowed like in names and sort of themes, but it's really completely different. There's nothing in the book like it.
It's definitely a retelling, but I absolutely loved it.
Yes.
And the thing is, nothing, I didn't think there was anything that was like, well, there's not really much that was like, this is just way out of character. Most of it, like for instance, the very beginning, we can just dive right in. Loghain is in Gil'dan, and we don't see anything of Loghain like this at all.
No, in the books, we know that he was fighting in Gil'dan and like beating everybody until he got captured, but we don't see it. The first time we see Loghain, he's caged, and we see him from a distance.
Yeah.
But I actually love...
I loved it. I
loved
it.
...how he's portrayed here.
Me too. I love the like voices in his head.
Which is new.
Yeah.
In the books, he does not hear voices.
Well, we don't get to know him until so much later that
like
that's not even that opportunity. But yeah, I love his intensity. I love that it's multiple voices. It makes him really seem kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't. The thing is, Josh pointed out, he doesn't always obey the voices. The voices are sitting there, you know, telling him, go ahead and kill him. And then he gives hope.
Yes.
By healing the king of Gil'dan.
Which I found fascinating.
Me too.
Because he's got this woman in his head. What's the woman's name?
Alusha, I think.
Alusha. And the only reason we know that is because we put the subtitles
on. Yeah,
we
did subtitles.
But it never says it in the episode.
Yeah.
So he's got Alusha.
I don't know if that's important or not. But.
And that is not a name that I remember from the books. It's certainly not an important name. And then the male voice is not named. But they're both telling him to go ahead and kill this king of Gil'dan, who I don't think we know his name.
I don't think so.
But he doesn't do it. Later on in the episode, he tells Moraine that he hears thousands of voices
all
from the past
dragons before,
and they're teaching him how to do better.
And which is so,
and I wondered, did he lie to her at that point? Or does
I don't think
so. Because he did not actually listen to the voices when they were telling him to kill the king.
Yeah, but like if he's got like thousands of them or something, then, and like he said, it's teaching him to be better. Like maybe listening to those voices, like who are saying like, oh, just go ahead and kill him. Where he's like, yeah, you'd like that. Like he's learning, I'm not going to necessarily do what you did.
So maybe he's learning not to listen to them. Like
maybe.
Because he's like, you guys made mistakes. So whatever you tell me to do, I do
the
opposite.
I'm not going
to
do it, yeah.
That's funny. I hadn't thought about that. That's a really interesting idea.
Because like healing the king and saying that The dragon has just as much chance to save the world, and he wants to save the world. It really gives, and I feel like I keep saying this like a broken record, but I feel like it gives so much depth to Logan's character that we just don't get into, especially this early.
Yeah, one thing I really liked about this episode was that we saw Moraine channel, and she was doing all kinds of gestures and dancing and doing all this stuff. Logan doesn't make any gestures.
Nope, he's completely still.
He just stands there with his arms at his side, and the power does all kinds of stuff.
It's so cool.
And later, you know, we see other Aes Sedai channel in this episode for the first time, and they're all doing gestures of various kinds as well. So it really shows. And the books actually talk about that the Aes Sedai do a lot of gestures, that other channelers don't do it. Now, the reason they have to do it, the Aes Sedai have to do it, is because that's how they learn to do it. Mm-hmm. And if you learn to channel with a certain gesture, you always have to do that gesture in order to channel.
So it makes sense. Like if an Aes Sedai taught them and that's how she was taught, then that's how they're always going to do it.
Yeah. So that I thought was really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, as we meet other groups of channelers that are not Aes Sedai, if they'll have different gestures or any gestures.
Oh, that is interesting.
So we'll see.
Well, and like when they shielded him, you could tell that they were doing the same type of thing to shield.
Yeah, they were all doing the same kind of gesturing, which, you know, the show had to have like a choreographer to be like, I'm the channeling choreographer.
Yeah.
I'm an expert in channeling choreography, which I just wonder what kind of hustle that is. I'd love that job. I can come up with some nonsense gestures.
Oh.
But I loved it. I loved it. It was.
But they
very
did. They had to have somebody to say, this is how you do this and this is how you do that. I did love that whole scene with them holding his shield. And they've got, like, I loved how, because in the books it talks about them laying a shield on someone.
Yeah.
And I really liked how it looked like they were laying it right over him like a blanket. Mm-hmm. And then when Leandrin drops her shield, like, you can sort of tell the weaves dissipate. It looked like, you know, like a spider web coming apart or something. That was neat.
Now, one thing that I'm still not super clear on is if they can see each other's channeling.
They would be able to see each other.
No, the women. But at one point, Qarianna sees Loghain is going to...
Yeah, let's talk about that when we get to it. There's so much more to talk about.
I thought we were just talking about channeling.
Well, we can. That's fine.
And that's on channeling.
Okay, then let's keep talking about it. That's fine. So, like, if... Right, because they say, Moraine says, I know that women can't see men channel.
Yes.
But this is... You know, it's like holding a cat in the bath, I think Alana says.
Yeah.
And then, like you were saying later, Corinna, like, saves Moraine.
I thought she saved Leandrin.
I think both of them. I think she shielded it to both of them. But it's like, how did she know that that was coming if she can't see it?
I don't know, maybe she felt it or something.
Or, like, maybe she saw that was, like, the broken piece in the shield.
Yeah.
That could be...
Yeah, and then also later when Nynaeve does her like freak out healing everybody, Loghain shields his eyes and seems to see what she does.
It does make me wonder, maybe in the TV show, maybe men can see women, but women can't see men.
I don't know. We'll see how they do in the rest of the show, but in the books they cannot. But the men do actually have an advantage in that they can feel.
They get like a tingle.
Yeah, they get goosebumps, and they can tell if a woman is holding the power and if she's actively channeling, but they can't see it in the books. So, we'll see.
It sure did seem like he could see it, though. I mean, he turned away, and he said, like a raging sun.
Yeah. So it seems like something was going on there, but we'll see. We also got to see a lot more warders.
Yes.
One thing that I thought was interesting, and I like that they did this, was how diverse the warders were. All different races, but in sizes and
ages,
and you really saw the diversity there with the Aes Sedai as well. Mm-hmm. That the Aes Sedai were from all different nations, and
and they talk about that in the books, that they're from everywhere.
Yeah. Now we didn't see other Ajahs besides the green and the reds. No other Ajahs were represented in this camp.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting thing is that the books have the group that goes to capture Loghain is 13 women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a traditional number because 13 is the biggest number of women that you can have linked together. And so that's like the traditional way to capture a man that can channel is to have 13 women shielding him.
But they mention that there's only seven.
But they mention, Leandrin says that there's only seven.
Oh, speaking of, we can hearken back to our very first recap when it looks like Leandrin gentles that random guy.
Yes.
And then in this episode, they talked about
that there's the rumor that they've been going around gentling men without taking them back to Tar Valon for trial. And Qarianna, am I saying her name the way that they do it?
Corinna.
Corinna, okay. I'm trying to say it the way they did. Okay, yeah. Corinna said that she said she doesn't believe it because even Leandrin wouldn't cross the Amaryllis Sea.
Right.
So she's basically saying, I don't think that she's really doing that.
But Moraine even saw them do it.
Yeah, she did. But she didn't tell
Corinna
that.
She didn't speak up.
So that was interesting, and that is for sure going to come into play,
mm-hmm.
that the Reds have
and
been...
And we wondered about that.
Yes, we wondered if our... Because in the books, it's very clear that Tower Law, you don't gentle a man on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what she did in the opening scene of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling that's definitely going to be a point of contention,
mm-hmm.
with the Reds.
Yeah.
We got to see really interesting banter between a lot of the warders and their Aes Sedai, which I really appreciated. You see them joking around.
I loved
and
that. I loved all the stuff with the warders.
Clearly very close, very comfortable. Mm-hmm. And you see the warders are not their servants. They're not their slaves. They're their partners.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about things. They plan. It is clear that the Aes Sedai right up front.
Yeah,
they're in charge, but they don't treat them like dirt.
Right, and I loved that scene with the battle where there was that one green sister and she starts to channel and her warder is like he shields an arrow from coming at her. Like, she has to be vulnerable as she's getting herself together. And so that warder is right there behind her, protecting her.
Yeah.
It's such a good picture of, like, how they work together.
Yeah.
I really liked that a lot.
Yeah.
And I loved, you know, Stepan, who was Corinna's warder. Stepan kind of talks about what an Aes Sedai is, that they're the servant of all, and the bond is that a warder and an Aes Sedai have is stronger than a husband and wife, even parent and child. I really liked that we got some insight into that too. Oh, and and Lan saying to Moraine, I shouldn't have had a drink. You always get emotional when I drink.
Yeah.
It's so cute. So that kind of gives that insight as they feel each other's pain, which Nynaeve talked about in a recent episode.
Yep. I also really, really appreciate that you get to see a bit of the politicking between the Aes Sedai, where they are not monolithic. They do not trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
They do not tell each other everything that they're planning.
Right.
They're plotting against each other. They've got their own things going on. And that's definitely a big thing in the books, is that Aes Sedai, you never quite know what they're doing. What are they really aiming at? They can seem like they're doing one thing, but really they're doing something completely different.
Yeah.
We also spent a good bit of time with the Tinkers.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on how the Tinkers were portrayed here?
I really liked this one better than the other episode. I didn't love the introduction of the Tinkers.
Yeah.
It was fun to see them. But in this episode, you got a lot more of the bright colors. The books talk about, like, it's garishly vibrant and hard to look at. And this time, you know, I saw like a bright pink wagon and just crazy colors on their clothes. And I felt like it was more canonical, if you will.
Yeah. Well, and just how they talked about, like, the Way of the Leaf was very, very, very book accurate.
Mm-hmm.
That they are extreme pacifists. They don't fight. They don't defend themselves. They try to run away,
mm-hmm.
if they're threatened. That's why they're the traveling people.
Yeah.
They're always traveling, staying on the move so that they're not a target.
Yeah.
They're basically like hippies, dirty hippies.
Well, yes. But then I actually really liked how they had the thing about, I forget what it's called. The Amish tradition of how they leave home to go check
when
out.
When they're 20, they go see what it's like to not be a tinker.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. That's not in the books, but I loved that as an idea.
It's a great idea.
And it gives a little foreshadowing to is something going on with Aram. You can tell that he's kind of interested in Nynaeve.
Egwene.
And he's got some questions, like he doesn't believe in a song.
Right. So he's not really a good tinker.
Right. So him saying that makes me think, like, he's excited to go see. I just wonder if, like, there could be some sort of, you know, maybe he goes with them or something at some point.
And Perrin has a lot more pushback against the tinker way than Egwene does.
Yeah.
Egwene doesn't really say much one way or the other about the way of the leaf, about, like, does she think it's ridiculous or not?
She seems to think it's really beautiful. Like, when she says to him, are you sure you haven't already found the song?
Yeah.
Like, just looking around at how everybody's really enjoying each other.
Perrin is very much not like that. He gives a lot of pushback. He's like, I mean, you gotta defend yourself.
But I loved the story that Ela gave of her daughter. That was heartbreaking.
Aram's mom was killed, and she says, you know, what better revenge is there than to live in peace? And that was really beautiful.
Best revenge for violence is peace.
That actress is really good, isn't she, Ela?
Yeah. She is good. And then it was interesting, too, that she, like, got right to the point when she was talking to Perrin about picking up the axe, you know, and has your life been better or worse since?
Mm.
And, I mean, poor Perrin.
He doesn't answer the question.
No.
But he answers the question.
Yeah, and I mean, it's for us, like, we can just feel what he's thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also get to spend a bit of time at the Grinwell farm, who we do meet in the books, but they are not like this at all.
It's a very different interaction.
In the books, Else Grinwell is about the same age as Rand.
Yeah, she kind of flirts with Rand.
Yeah.
In this one, she didn't interact with Rand at all, and she's a little, like, 6-year-old,
she's
maybe.
She's like 6 years old. She interacts with Matt, and Matt is reminded of his sisters.
I thought it was sweet.
It was
a sweet interaction. That was so cute. So
we also get to see that Rand is really not sure about Tom. He is suspicious that Tom might be a dark friend as well, and maybe he's playing like 4D chess. Maybe he killed Dana, the dark friend, in order to gain their trust, and he's not sure what to think, which is understandable for a farm kid who's never been out of the Two Rivers.
And, like, why did this guy start traveling with us? Like, what does he care?
Who is this guy?
But then you find out why he cares.
Yeah. Well, so he sees these two guys, and they're clearly being targeted by dark friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sees that Matt is acting kind of strange. And
the,
like,
Matt's
horse is afraid of him, which this is new. So in the books, we do not have animals being afraid of people that can, men that can channel, or of Matt. But that, I don't mind it. It's an interesting indication that something is off.
Yeah.
Matt's horse is freaked out by him. And we see Matt get sick while he's throwing up, you know, after they're mucking out.
And he's got
that weird, like, Mashadar, like, on his chin.
That's what I was going to say. It looks a lot like when he throws up and it goes up the side. It looks like what was in Shadar Logoth.
Yes.
That, like, weird, creepy. And it obviously creeps him out, too, when he sees what he's vomited up that's turned into that weird, creepy stuff.
Yeah, it's super gross. So then we have Tom telling about his nephew, Owen.
Mm-hmm.
And how Owen could channel. And he was acting just like Matt, acting strange. Animals were afraid of him. And then the Reds came and they gentled him. And he lost the will to live.
That was so sad. And that does happen in the books, too, about Owen. That's why Tom is hanging out with him. However, it is different in the books because Tom, in the books, we actually meet back in the Two Rivers.
Yes, he had been hired by the mayor and the town council, who are men, to perform for Beltane.
Because it was this really excited, he was going to do fireworks and all this stuff. So he actually ends up, when the kids, or the, you know, those four leave with, Moraine and Lan.
He insists on going with them.
He's like, yeah, I'm going with you for sure. And we don't know why until later, but then it's a similar to what happened at the Grenwells, where he tells them about Owen, but it happens in a different place.
Yeah.
He says, there's really only one trouble that people can have with Aes Sedai. And then he talks about Owen. So he doesn't, I don't think he has any indication at that time that any of them maybe can channel, but he just knows, like, the Reds gentled Owen and it ended up killing him, which I wonder, because he said they gentled him while he was gone. And it makes me wonder if the Reds did it outside of Tower Law.
Yeah. Well, Moraine actually says that to him later, that they did something wrong and she'll help him make it right.
That's right.
She'll give him names.
That's right.
And so the idea is basically Tom is a gleeman. He's a professional entertainer, but he is a bad dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he is dangerous.
Which we definitely get to see in this episode.
Which I loved that scene.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay, so first, weird dream. Rand's crazy weird dream was, I don't even know thoughts on that. Like, that was creepy. And
yeah.
It was good, but it was so weird.
Yeah, we see him seeing his friends and their various stages of weird things going on. Yeah,
Egwene being taken by the Dark One.
Yeah.
And Perrin, like, hammering.
Bodies.
Yeah, well, I guess, was that supposed to be Layla, do you think?
I don't know.
I saw a braid.
I don't know.
And then Matt with that weird stuff. Bloody stuff all over his hands.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
Yeah. So then, of course, Tom and him going in, and you see all these bodies, and immediately
the whole Grenwell family's murdered.
Yeah.
And you get the sense, oh no, did Matt do this?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just like standing in the middle of the room. And
yeah.
I was thinking, oh, this is a dark turn.
I was like, whoa, this is different.
Did the Mashadar stuff like take him over and he's like killing people? Why would he do this?
Yeah, it was so weird.
But then he does the...
Well, when you see the dagger, when he holds up that dagger, it doesn't have any blood on it.
Right.
So it's like, okay, so he didn't.
Yeah. But he does the horror movie kid thing.
Oh, gosh.
Where he's like, I see you.
Yeah,
and he's got that weird
so
look on his face.
Creepy.
And he points up at the dagger.
Ooh.
But what does he see?
A fade. Murdrawl.
A Murdrawl up there. And so the Murdrawl comes out and Tom doesn't miss a beat. He takes out his knife and he throws it at the Murdrawl.
And he's like, get out.
And then
here.
You see one of the Murdrawl's abilities, which is fading
going
into
in the
shadow and
mm-hmm.
then appearing in a different shadow.
Yeah, it makes you think there's two, but there's not.
There's
just
one. But that's one of the Murdrawl's secret abilities, is they can like teleport through shadows,
mm-hmm.
which is like a freaky deaky ability,
mm-hmm.
and they're deadly fighters.
Yeah, so
they do more than just have like disgusting mouths. They they are
their
dangerous
mouths are pretty nasty.
Fighters, and but Tom's
holding his own.
Tom told the boys to run while he fights the fade, and so they do. They ran out of there, and you get to see Tom fighting the fade just a little bit. But the boys run out, and the last we see them, they're riding down the road as mm-hmm. fast as they can. So that was pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
But then going back to Loghain and the Aes Sedai camp.
Oh, man. Yeah.
The Aes Sedai camp gets attacked by mm-hmm. Loghain's army. And that's different from the books. That does not happen in the books.
Yeah, no, that never happens.
But I did wonder in the books, I always wondered this, Loghain had an army.
He had a big following.
So, like, what happened to all of his men? Because he never...
We skipped something huge.
Never see them again.
This is very girly, but we have to talk for just a minute about that sweet little interaction between Nynaeve and Lian.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing, Lian kind of saving her from Leandrin, when Leandrin was trying to like gain her trust and
yeah.
seemed like she was like inviting her to be a Red.
Definitely.
Even though we haven't, well, at this point we hadn't seen her channel yet. We had no idea that she could channel, but
Leandrin could feel it.
Right. So that was one of those things that I was going to talk about. Women can like sense the one power in other women and how strong they are.
Even if they're not trained.
Right. So this is all intertwined. I promise I'm not going down a rabbit hole, but that part when Lan comes into Moiraine's tent and she's like kind of confused, like maybe Loghain is the Dragon Reborn, maybe she was wrong. And Lan says to her, is he as strong as Egwene? All we've seen Egwene do at this point is a little flicker.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't think so. But she's felt some of the power of Loghain, just where she was shielding him.
Mm-hmm.
And Leandrin was like, you feel that? That's only half of his power. So she knows that he's super powerful, But she's still saying he's not as powerful as Egwene.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said,
so she can feel the ability, the potential.
She can feel the potential of Egwene.
Yeah.
So this tells us that Leandrin can probably feel the potential in Nynaeve.
Yeah.
Wanting to kind of recruit her. And then Lan, you know, has that nice little moment with her and says, you can come and hang out with us later, which she does. And there's the sweet, fun stuff at the fire with the warders. And she's telling them that she really likes them. She's like, you guys are fun. You know, she really enjoys their company. But what I was trying to get to was when Lan is praying and she comes over and...
And the Malkyr.
Yeah. And then she comes over.
I think that's the first we've heard of Malkyr.
Yeah, I think so.
Lan is Malkyri, and that becomes a big part of the story.
Yeah.
And, well, in his story, anyway.
Yeah, that's the nation that he's from.
It's one of the Borderlands, and I don't want to spoil, like...
Yeah, you know, that, yeah.
But
I hope it's still a big part of this story, because it's really cool.
I think it has to be.
Well, it seems like it will be, since they talked about it. Yeah,
they talked about it.
But then she gives that quote that she doesn't even know what it means.
But it's in the old tongue.
And then he's like, do you want to know? And she's so vulnerable. Like, she has been this strong. Because
her parents told her that.
Yes.
Yeah, they used to say it when she was a little girl.
And she says it's the last thing they said to her when they put her in the cellar.
Their village is being attacked. But I wondered, who's attacking their village? But she didn't give an indication.
Yeah.
We don't even know where she's from.
Nope. So I just thought that was so... You see her really, like... show her heart a little bit, which that's hard for her. She's this like strong, she even says people don't come to wisdoms for ignorance.
Right.
But then he like is really kind too. He doesn't treat her like this stupid back village woman. And then when she's like, you're not what you seemed. And then he says, you're exactly what I thought you were. What's that? And then the army attacks and you're like, wait just a second, Lan. What were you going to say?
Yeah.
What do you think? It's just so sweet. I love, love, loved that moment between the two of them.
So we're coming up on our time. So we're gonna speed up just a little bit.
I was excited.
I know. It's great. It was a great episode. Loved it. If you haven't watched it.
I think this was the best one yet.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Okay, so to the climax, the very end of the episode, which was so awesome.
Loghain is able to break free of the shield and... before he walks out of the cave where he's been kept, Moraine comes in and they have this interaction where she's questioning, why should I think that you're the dragon reborn? And he says, well, look, I can hear all these voices of all the past dragons and they're telling me what to do, how to be better. And she's like, nah, you're crazy. That's the madness. And at that moment, Qarianna is able to... She's able to like throw him back at the power.
And then they have this
interaction where they're Leandrin, Moraine, and
Qarianna
are attacking him, and he's barely holding them off. But then he's like able to bust out and he kills Qarianna, and her warder is like, crazy. And they're all fighting the army, and you have this crazy interaction where they're shielding Loghain. And her warder comes and he hits the shield with his axes. And then Loghain is able to make the axes explode. And then the shrapnel goes all over the place. And it like kills everybody or hurts everybody, including our boy Lan.
Who gets it right in the throat. I was like, what is happening? Lan can't die. And Moraine's also hurt. What's happening? Slit his throat.
He's laying on the ground. He's bleeding out. And Nynaeve is there. She wasn't hit. And she's like, no. No!
She gets really mad.
And she's just like exploding with healing power.
Yeah.
And she heals not only Lan, but
she heals like
everybody in
and
there.
And her braids are going crazy all over the place. And that's when he's like a raging sun. Loghain is like crying.
But
over...
then the Aes Sedai gentled him.
Yeah,
right
they all
the
link. And
I loved how he's like crying.
Oh my gosh.
As he's being gentled.
It really gives you that sense of like
you ripped his soul
loss.
Away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Tom kind of told us, like when somebody is cut off from the power, they lose the will to live. And you see it. You see it draining from him of just like this immense loss.
Yeah.
So good.
It was a really, really well done episode. And I can't wait till next week.
Yeah. So By the way, we have almost hit 100 on our Facebook page. So please look us up on Facebook. Like our page. We're doing a book giveaway.
Give us a 5-star rating if you can.
Oh, yeah. We're doing a book giveaway on Facebook. So go like our Facebook page. Please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. That is how our podcast moves up in rank when you give us ratings and leave us reviews. So please do that. Email us if you have any questions. And also check out our shop. So if you go to the Linktree, which is linked in the show notes, go to Linktree. There is Choose Your Aja, which is where all those cool Aja t-shirts are. And now that you've learned a little bit more about the different Ajas, you might be thinking about which Aja you want. And then there's also the shop where you can get tumblers or coffee mugs and different stuff like that from Shade of My Heart, a Wheel of Time podcast.
Thank you for listening. May you always find water and shade.